Hold on. Okay, here goes. We are now, as we know, in the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks have another name for it in Hebrew, besides the Shalosh Shavuot. It's called Bein HaMetzarim. Bein HaMetzarim, I don't know what exactly means. We're going to do it right now. It's a Pasuk in Eicha. Third Pasuk in Eicha, 1273. Says like this. First chapter goes in the ascending order of the Alphabet. So we have number three, starts with the Gimel. Judah has gone into exile because of suffering and harsh toil. She dwelt among the nations, but found no rest. And here's the crucial words. All her pursuers overtook her in the narrow straits. So the interpretation here of Bein HaMetzarim means narrow straits. That's a phrase. This Bein HaMetzarim is a phrase in Klal Yisrael. We are now in these narrow straits. What does it mean in the narrow straits? It really means from Shiva Sabatamas, as wall A, as we might say, narrow straits, to Tisha B'Av being wall B. But that's what comes from Eich. So even though the pasuk doesn't seem to say it, we don't have the English here. Rashi says it right here. Rashi says Bein HaMetzarim literally means they were trapped. When you want to kill someone, you trap them in. So you find them within, what I just said, the straits. You're trapped in it, and then you get to them. The pursuers are within the straits. But Rashi then says, but the Agadic interpretation is Bein HaMetzarim in this time period. Because as we know, the temple was destroyed. All the bad events in Klal Yisrael seemingly always come back to these 3 weeks, and maybe specifically Tisha B'Av itself. The question that might be asked, is the word Bein HaMetzarim the proper Hebrew, or you could have said B'toch? B'toch means, what Bein means between the Metzarim, or some would say B'toch HaMetzarim. It's not the word, biggest question in the world, but I still people ask. So we have a potential answer, and we're going back to this week's Parsha, which always comes out in the 9 days. Beginning of Devarim, we are starting a new Chumash. So if you were falling asleep through the first four Chumashim, you can be awake now and start over. Page 939. 939 starts, as we've said in the past, one of the greatest pieces of all time. Moshe Rabbeinu's long rebuke, it says here. I just saw a veiled rebuke. What does veiled rebuke mean? So you look at the front of it, it says like this. That, does it say why? The entire book of Deuteronomy was spoken by Moses in the last 5 weeks of his life. That is one long, impressive speech. It was his last will and testament to the beloved people, because they were surely confident that they would not succumb to alien influence and temptations of Canaan. Whatever. And now it goes further. But in order not to embarrass and offend his listeners, Moshe Rabbeinu did not mention these sins explicitly. Instead, he alluded to them by naming places. Rashi's answering the first question of Devarim. Devarim starts out. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel. There's a lot of okay. On the other side of the Jordan. Okay, that's okay. Concerning, by the way, that word concerning is not in the Hebrew. So it's just in the Hebrew, when you read it regularly, it seems like a multiple locations. I have to ask for correctly added and concerning to avoid that question. Otherwise, you read it like this. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel on the other side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in Arava, opposite the Sea of Reeds, between Paran and Tophel, Lavan and Chatzeres. You're like, what? How many locations is going on here? So Rashi right away says, hey, these aren't locations classically. What they are is hints to events that occurred in the past. He wasn't standing in 18 places simultaneously. He was standing in one location, mentioning all these locations, because these locations are where certain sins happened. Now you got to figure out, in this coded article, veiled rebuke, what means what. So we have a place called Arava, I don't know, opposite the Sea of Reeds, could be anything, between Paran and Teufel and Laban and Chatzeres. Now we're on the second thing of Rashi. The second column says between Tophel and Mother. Rashi says like this. Shmuel, you got Rashi right there? Mm-hmm. The English is on the left side. On the right side of page 939. Rashi quotes Rabbi Yochanan, the famous Rabbi Yochanan, who says, we have reviewed all of the scriptures, but have not found any place named Tophel and Mother. So you're beginning by saying that Rashi's going to talk every Shmuel over here. We're beginning to talk about that we have certain locations that they're going to talk about certain places, events that occurred. I said, I got a problem here. Because these places, I can't find it. I'm looking through and I don't find it. It doesn't sound like a location. Place X. What does place X mean? So Rashi answers. Rather, he's got a problem now. Both words, Rashi says, both locations, both words, refer to the complaints about the man. Tofu can be rendered. I don't know what that next word is. I'm not even going to try. Usually, Charles is good with English. What does that say, Akiva? I don't even know. Calumny? C-A-L-U-M-N-Y? Calumny? Yeah. Okay. And Laban can be rendered white, the color of mud.
So Rashi
just says that what it means here is the place where they complained about the mon. It says two places. A little odd. We're going to have to answer that in a second. Go, question.
He's talking about the Bnei Yisrael who are going in the land. Those people generally sinned.
They did not sin, possibly. Yeah. Right. Very good. So really what...
rebuking them, he didn't do anything yet.
Because they didn't go into the land yet. Excellent question. So the easy answer is going to be, first of all, there were some survivors. There were 15,000 survivors that were there.
15,000?
Yeah, because of the 600,000. No, 600,000 people were supposed to die over the course of 40 years. Basic math you did is a math whiz. 600,000 divided by 40 is 15,000. He's nodding his head in agreement almost. It's 15,000 a year. Rashi, I think we quoted it recently. Rashi says that when did they die? Or something. I said, no, they died on Tisha B'Av. Every year on Tisha B'Av, they would all dig graves. They would all go into the grave. And the next morning, everyone will get up minus 15,000 each year, except for the last year. The last year, 15,000 did not die. So it could be, you could say, that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the 15,000. Or it could be, in his epic speech, he's discussing the history of what's going on and where it's going to be and stuff like that. So he's telling you guys know what occurred. You weren't necessarily sinners. You might have been under 20 years old, but you know what's going on. Let's move what might come on futuristically. But we have a problem. We have two places in this verse according to Rashi called Tophel and Laban that don't exist. The rest of them are exist. Arav is a place. Opposite the Sea of Reeds is clearly a place, right? But I said, oh, so these two places reference one sin, as it says in the Oscholies, and the one sin is the Mon. Okay. The Kliyakar passed away early 1600s. Head rabbi of Prague. Head rabbi of Prague. Then you can go to his grave in Prague. Still, his grave is still there. I was there. He says a different interpretation. He says like this. No, it does not mean the Mon. And he explains it. We're not going to go to the Hebrew words of why the word might be calumny, or whatever French thing he just said, or white. He has a different explanation. He says that these two represent two different senses. Dog and Rashi, clearly, if you go through the verses, it's fascinating. Two different transgressions by the Jews. As we said, Moses was giving, he didn't want to embarrass them. Instead, he alluded to them by giving names. He said, so these two are also allusions, but not referring to one location among two separate locations. What are the two separate locations? And he proves it. One is the golden calf, which would be a pretty obvious sin to be mentioning. That's a pretty big one. And the second one, probably the biggest sin why they're in the desert 39 years later, the spies. And he proves, which we can't go into the Hebrew words right now, he proves that these two places represent golden calf and represent spies. Now, trick question. What dates? Let's go through the history of Judaism. The Jews are in Egypt until Passover night, year one. They leave Passover night the next morning, right? They're out the next morning. The last day of Passover, sea splits, all good. That should be basic Judaism 101. Then, X amount of days later, is the giving of the Torah. We're still in year one. And then Moses goes up. 40 days later, he comes down. And what occurs? Golden calf. So the golden calf occurs in year one. What date? 17th of Tammuz. Well, we fasted a couple weeks ago. Then we go around the calendar year. We're not going through all the events. And we come back about a year, a little bit later. And now we send the spies out. And they go out. And they come back 40 days later. And they come back on Tisha B'Av, year two. So we have these two events being year one, golden calf. Year two, the spies. Both of these years. And that is the reason why they're mentioned right here. But look at the Hebrew. What does it say? When you start reading the locations... We have a lot of locations here. Eber Yarden, that's one. Bamidbar is desert, two. Arava, three. Mul, opposite Soif, Sea of Reeds, four. And now the next two have a funny word in front of them. Bain Haran Ubain Teufel. English article skipped. Oh, article that. Between. Two Bains, two betweens. What's going on here? So now you could say, brilliant answer. Kleopter basically says this as well. Well, he says that, sort of says it. That when we call it, we ask before. So in Lamentations, verse 3, we said that we refer to these 3 weeks as Bein HaMetzarim, between the narrow strait, between these two dates of Shiva of the Thomas, 17th of Thomas, and Teskov, 9th of Av. And we asked that some people, we quoted, asked the question, why is it called Bein HaMetzarim? Call it Betoch HaMetzarim. Well, here we have a reference to the Torah, to Bein HaMetzarim. Because here the Torah mentions, according to the Biyakar, the Torah mentions a place called Haran. I don't know what that means. Place called Teufel doesn't exist. Oh, you know what those mean? That means golden calf, spies, 17th day of Tammuz, 9 Av, and you know what it says here? The word Bein, Aaron, Ubein, Teufel. So since the Torah references these two events right near each other, and it uses the word Bein in Hebrew, which means within, like Betov, so we don't use the classic word Betov, we use the word Bein as a reference to this event. The toch is in the middle, within. Beis toch yud chof. It means like inside. How would you, instead of saying between the narrow straits, let's do it in English, the better way to do it. We have the 3 weeks. We call it the 3 weeks in English. But in Hebrew, we call it bein hamatzarim, between the narrow straits, between these two events. Do we call it between as bein? And they're the main events, everything's in between. We call it toch during these 3 weeks. The difference, which we're not going into tonight, would be, is it really just two events and we're in between it? Or every day now is bad. If you learn, which we're not going into tonight,
that's clear.
That was clear. That's why. Thanks for the question. If you say the words, which we do use the words, bein hamatzarim, between the narrow straits, it's possible to say that the bein means this day is bad, we fast. That's bad. This day is bad, we fast night and day. But in between, it's we got two fasts in order to lose some weight, but no, it's not that bad. And that's what it would sound like if you would say bein hamatzarim.
But that is what it
says. That is what it says. But the phrase should be betoch hamatzarim, because we believe within these weeks it's bad. So the question becomes, why does Judaism, something we've said a million times on RabbiHavda.com, every phrase is serious. So why do we call it bein hamatzarim? You should call it betoch hamatzarim. Within as opposed to between. The answer might be that because we always want to source our statements to the Torah laws. And the Torah used the word bein. Oscar said, between Paran and between Tovah. So since the Torah, when it references these two dates in Moses' epic speech, says the word bein, and you look at the verse 1 doesn't say the word bein anywhere else, Kliyaka said it means these two events. So by the way, we're hinting, you know what this bein thing? That bein thing is go look over there and put the whole events occur. We have a source with the word bein. It doesn't mean in between because the days are nothing. We're discussing those events, so we use the Torah to go it. That Torah is not discussing the 3 weeks. That's discussing a location. Okay. So that's where we have a word bein. Now, what's fascinating is, now there's a good question, which you did was about to ask. It starts out by saying, veiled rebuke, reading Oscar's word. That's on the first page of the New Chumash. Then you go further, one page, and it says, it's 943, a couple pages later, the mission of the spies. And by the way, it's a lengthy conversation going on here. Lengthy conversation. So the question becomes, an obvious question. You're starting out by saying it's a veiled rebuke, and you give 100 reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to embarrass people. And then, 2 seconds later, I don't want to say that someone's drinking tonight, but let me go into the concept of why drinking's wrong. But that doesn't make any sense. It's a contradiction right away. That is the question asked. I don't know who's asked by first. Answer. Brilliant. Charles is going to smirk now. One of my heroes, Kedusha Rim, first Rebbe of Ger. We discussed him. Outside, out of whack genius, Polish giant, started the Ger dynasty. Some awesome stuff always. So he says like this. Unbelievable. He says that when Moshe began the speech, at that moment in time, when you approach someone and you want to start up with them, you want to give them musar, so you want them to change, you start, this is my version, you start a little slow, start a little nice. You don't go that aggressive. And then hopefully the guy starts picking up on things. What happened was when Moshe began the epic speech and he hinted to these things, the Jews felt it. It bothered them. They were like, we messed that up. Yeah, messed up by the sea of reeds. Yeah. But Moshe wasn't saying it openly. We could use the word passive aggressive. And then the Jews started doing real repentance. They felt bad. And when you repent out of love, what happens? It turns into merits. Turns into mitzvahs. So at the beginning, Moshe's hinting to the guy. He's hinting to these things. He doesn't want to embarrass them. Whatever the reasons why, there's 100 reasons why you veil. That's a verb. You veil the deeds. But once they started repenting, and they repented correctly, and they repented out of love, and therefore became mitzvahs, I said, let's talk the details. Because the longer the details, the more mitzvahs you get. That's a Kedusha Rim to answer. To answer an obvious question when you're reading it, what's going on, why that? Possible to add, that back, since Chassel could be insistent, I'll say there's an original Havner, that since we believe, we practice that the 3 weeks is an ominous time, the halacha says don't hit a student during the 3 weeks because it's dangerous. It's a dangerous time. Don't walk, don't take trips. During these 3 weeks, it's a time of nervousness. We don't take trips. Why? Because it's an auspicious time, as we said, that during these 3 weeks, it's a bad time. All the calamities and Judaism comes after.
In my we're supposed to have faith in Hashem that no bad should happen to us, but in the 3 weeks, we should be fearful that bad things can happen.
Yes and no. By the way, a very good question. There is a question, do we believe in Mazel to the Jews and everything's doing for good? So it's a long conversation. Very good question. Glad you switched seats. It means he's thinking better. I might even send you a recording on this, but it's really good. The simplest answer is going to be that there are times when God works in judgment and times he works out of mercy. So on a normal day, everything's good. If someone's dumb enough to walk at the edge of a cliff and try to jump over, I say, oh, can I make this move? Can I stand in a car going 60 miles an hour and jump to the next car? Yeah, at that moment, you can't guarantee yourself everything good's going to happen because you're on a car going 60 miles an hour thinking it's cool to jump to another car. So at times, God then has to work in a different system. So in those systems, then it's not as easy. The 3 weeks might be that system. That's only why we have to be extra careful. But according to the Sharim, we love Ger, we love altars. You know, these 3 weeks are also an opportunity for grand repentance out of love. The Chazirim is saying that when we were talking about these events, it became a very serious time. Okay, maybe it's a serious time. The Jews right away started repenting. And since we're always reading these parashas in the 3 weeks, so maybe we also have an opportune time. In the 3 weeks, we always do very good stuff. We always have time to do repentance. In fact, this will answer an incredible question. We gave a quick history before. Moses, the Torah is given on Sinai. Moses goes up for 40 days, comes down. Doesn't come down. He doesn't come down. And therefore, the people start thinking, he's late. He's done. And there's a vision of Moses dead. What day was this? When you start going through the verses, almost for sure, this was the 16th. 16th of Thomas. And they started doing the Abel. And they started doing a calf. And it says, we go through Pashki Sisa, they actually built a camp. And Aaron's like, let's now do more stuff. And Aaron says, no, you know what? Slow things down. We're going to start over tomorrow. The Pashki Sisa. And then the next day, they start the whole game again. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the next day. They walk by one day on the camping. Comes down the next day and breaks the luchos. So the luchos being broken happens on the 17th of Thomas. But the sin of the golden calf started on the 16th and continued to the 17th. A couple years ago, we'll have to link it, on rabbihubba.com, we spoke about why when the Mishnah lists the events of the 17th of Thomas, five crucial events that occurred, it doesn't mention the sin of the golden calf. And we gave a whole class on it then. Tosca might leave it. It's an easy one. You probably just put the words in, it'll come up. The interesting thing is, not so clear, it started on the 17th. It really started on the 16th. When you're talking about the 17th, it also occurred, but it really started on the 16th as well. It was the 16th to the 17th. So what happened on the 16th? What was going on? Moshe Rabbeinu is up at Shemayim. The Jews are down here doing the golden calf. Okay, and then he comes down the next day. So when, if you were going to start the 3 weeks, when would you start the 3 weeks? Would you start the 3 weeks on the 17th when Moses came down and broke the tablets? Or would you start it on the 16th when they actually made the mistake, saw the dead body, didn't trust in God, and actually built the calf? Very strange. We started on the 17th. This is a bomb question. This is a bomb question. We're starting on the 17th, not the 16th. One approach is, it's a really tough question. One approach is going to be, because on the 16th, when God was in heaven, he was saying, you know what, let's give them the opportunity to repent. The opportunity. Moses came down the next day. They're still doing it. Break the tablets. But the day before, God's like, okay. So that's not a negative time. It's a very positive time. 16th of Thomas, bad for the Jews. They started sinning and they didn't repent. but great for on the opportunity they were given. They were doing one of the ultimate sins in history, and God's like, okay, well, that's the judgment. Let's figure this out. Not only that, God's actually writing the Luchos according to some at that moment in time. So the 16th of Tammuz is a beautiful day. Before the 3 weeks, a beautiful, beautiful day. We're ending the 3 weeks with Mashiach being born on the second half of the ninth of Av, whatever that phrase exactly means. That's why the second half of the day in some ways is easier than the first half of the day. We don't sit on the floor anymore. We put on our tefillin. One of the reasons is because the second half of the day is a little easier, which means the 3 weeks might be bookended by two bad events. But you know what? It's like, you know that game Othello? So in Othello, if you never played a game, it's like a tic-tac-toe. You got to keep on turning things over. So let's say you get a bunch of blacks, and you almost got the whole column, but you got that one white sitting there, and you put the white here, and everything switches over. That's how it works. Or reverse. That's the whole game. Get to the corners. Right? You know, play Othello, get to the corners. Because those can never be turned over. Get to the lines, can't be turned over on the side. Get to the corners. Which means, we started tonight's class by saying the 3 weeks book ended by two negative events. You know what? Our book ended by two positive events. Othello, thought of this right now, by the way. I'm very happy thought of this right now. That means that, yes, it's an auspicious time, but we got the 16th, which God's like, hey, relax. We got the last day where God's saying, Messiah's here. These are good times. And we're adding on that during the event, during the time period, we have the Chedushim saying that the Jews of yesteryear all repented out of love and all the sins became positive. All from the words when it says, Bein Teufel, Bein Lover. Right? Now, what's interesting is when Aaron and Koyim told them tomorrow we're going to do this, they came to Aaron HaKohen and they started doing the whole golden calf, the wild parts. They started doing it, the golden calf. And then the day one was really getting bad. The people saw that Moses had delayed in descending the mountain, and the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, rise up, make for us gods. God is not capitalized. This is bad. And it's going, and it's there. And here, if you want to look at us, the whole spiel. And then Aaron says, but yeah, Aaron saw it. It's getting bad. He built the altar, and Aaron tried to slow the process down. What does he say? A festival for Hashem tomorrow. Tomorrow we're gonna finish this up. 17th, Moshe comes down, great strategy, and it ended. So some of the swear many from me down. Did the Torah make a lie? Aaron said tomorrow. So it's not gonna be. Tomorrow is a holiday, it didn't work out. It wasn't a holiday 17th, it was a massacre. They said, yeah. When Aaron said tomorrow's gonna be a holiday, the 17th of Tammuz will be a holiday tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't mean tomorrow, literally. In the future, the 17th of Tammuz will be the beginning of holiday season. We'll have a holiday season, maybe beginning of 6th. The holiday season for these 3 weeks. Hopefully, next Tuesday, we celebrate by eating sacrifices in Jerusalem in the temple. Wow.